Good morning. How is everyone this fine day? Hope doing well. I am can't remember what I was going to say. Never mind. Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time looking to your word. Lord, keep me ever searching and wanting to know more about you, Lord. I enjoy knowing and learning about you, and your word shows us your personality and helps us to see who you are. And you continue to guide us, Lord, that we can continue to learn about you and learn. I'm looking forward so much to that day to be in your kingdom. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Y'all, boy, study Ezekiel. I realize that God's heart must be really burning many times when it comes to how ungrateful it seems like we as humans don't realize how much He's done and tried to make a world that's good for us, but we just want to do it our own way and instead of realizing how intelligent He is and to do it His way. And here Ezekiel is going to be. This chapter coming up, continuing on, Ezekiel is going on and explaining different aspects of different people groups that are included in this wrath of God. And tonight, today, we're talking about the false prophets. And I can't help but think about when I went through this that we are entering a time frame again where false prophets are a dime a dozen. There's lots of them trying to tell you, spread this particular theory or that particular theory about what's good in the world and what we should be doing and following this particular practice. And if we just all kind of just look to the Word of God, that we can be so much more. Oh, was I blessed? Blessed, and that. So let's jump in there. I know. The more I study Ezekiel, I guess it's really starting to get to me. I think how much God has tried His very best to convince us of what we need to do to live a really good life. So we're in Ezekiel 13, and this is what did I label it? I forgot now. Oh, lying prophets condemned. Yep. Basically, how do I want to say this? Ezekiel is going to be sharing with his group of people that he's in near the river Chaldeans. And he's trying to impress upon the people that they're listening to these people that are telling them false lies. And I split this chapter in two because. It's a little long to try to do it in one stinch. And so I cut it off. This one might be a little bit longer tonight than tomorrow night's. And because this one talks about prophets, false prophets, and the second half of the chapter talks about false prophecies or the woman type of prophet. And we had both male and female prophets, particularly in the false category. Most of the true prophets. Were mostly male, but there were a couple of women prophets that were that foresaw the future, but not as many. Most of them were male, and so we'll start here in Ezekiel 13:1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy and say they." Thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts. Hear ye the word of the Lord. When he says out of his own hearts, he's meaning there that basically they're not listening to God. They're just thinking this stuff up and saying it. That's what what the people want to hear. And we can say the same thing now. The favorite term we use nowadays is those preachers and those people out there that want to tickle our ears, make it make the gospel. All about love and that God doesn't have wrath. He loves everybody and there's no condemnation, and that we're all going to go to heaven, and goes on and on and on. And here, as God is talking to Ezekiel to go to the people and identify for them who these false prophets are. So I thought I'd comment a little bit about that word, prophesy out of their own hearts. And over in Jeremiah 14, 14 and 15, then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesied lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and deceit of their hearts. This is something Jeremiah was already talking about to the people. Verse 15, therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not. Yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall these prophets be consumed. So here, Jeremiah is telling the people that these false prophets are going to get their own, they're claiming that there's not going to be any death and destruction. That's what they mean by sword and famine. And there's not going to be any starvation. And so that these false prophets, that's how they're going to be, how they're going to find their end is by sword and famine. That's what God's telling Jeremiah to tell the people. Also in Jeremiah 23, 16, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of their mouth of the Lord. And 23, 26, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. So this is basically what Ezekiel is telling the people who are in captivity there in Babylon near the Chaldean River, that he's going in and trying to convince these people, don't listen to these false prophets. They're lying to you. That I got the truth. I got it straight from God. And that I'm trying to convince you folks. Of course, time is gonna find them out. And that's just the same thing we've got to realize today, that time will discover all these people, whether or not they're right or wrong. But it also could mean a long life of not realizing the truth and following the lie. I can't help but think about what Jesus himself many times said, do not be deceived. And they've got false prophets and false Christs are going to come in my name. I'm going to get to that verse here in a few minutes. Okay, on to verse 3. Then saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. In other words, they claim and they see stuff from the Lord, and they didn't see it from the Lord. And I like the famous verse, I love Acts 17, 11, that when you hear something, the one thing that Ezekiel and them didn't have, as we have the entire Bible to go by, and we know what God has said down through history. We don't have to rely on a prophet. And so whenever you hear somebody talking something, it's very, very important to verify that what they're saying is actually in the Bible. I think that's the best way to find out a false teaching or a false prophet. But the main way is that the Middle Eastern times, and in this particular time frame, if a prophet came along and made prophecies and they did not come true, then he would be stoned to death. That's how serious they took it. So that a real prophet, like we have Ezekiel here, and we have Jeremiah, we're talking about quite a bit, Daniel, that if their prophecies did not come true, then the punishment should have been to be stoned to death. So basically, that's what's going to happen to these prophets who are telling lies. Are they going to die by the sword and by the famine, according to God? So talking about the foolishness of these prophets, woe unto the foolish prophets, over in Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge all right, but the mouth of the fools poureth out foolishness. Proverbs 15:14. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of the fools feedeth on foolishness. So just some words of wisdom about following truth and not foolishness. Jeremiah 23, 31 and 32. Behold, I am against the prophets, say the Lord. They use their tongues and say, he said. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commended them. Therefore, they shall not profit these people at all, saith the Lord. So they're going to find their own. But in the meantime, a lot of people are getting deceived, and they're going to have false hopes, thinking that things are going to get better, and they're not going to get better. Okay, Ezekiel 13:4. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. I couldn't help it. The famous term, and I feel bad for the foxes sometimes because they get kind of a bad rap when it comes to verses like this. But basically, foxes. Whenever the word foxes is used, it usually means somebody who's crafty. And I guess foxes, in their own way, they are very crafty creatures when it comes to how they hunt. And that's how where the term came from. But I found an interesting little story that Josephus said that. Let me read over in Song of Solomon 2:15. It talks. It's one of the few verses that has it talks about foxes. Take us the foxes, the little foxes. They spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. And basically, the song, this particular verse is saying is that the foxes are out there, and they are influencing the tender ones and ruining the grapevines, and more or less that these crafty people, as they become known, these people known as foxes, when they have a personality like a fox, is that they're crafty and they're gonna for those unforsaken people, those people that aren't very knowledgeable about something, they're gonna convince them of lies. That's basically what I'm driving at here. But Josephus describes that Herod Antipas, Hannibus, was described as a crafty. That's one time that one of the time in the Bible that someone who was considered a fox was used, and that could have been where this particular verse came from. But also Jesus over in Luke 13:31 through 34. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox. This is what I was talking about. Herod Antipas. Behold, I cast out devils, and I do. This is Jesus talking about what Herod is saying. And Jesus basically saying, go tell that fox. And he's talking to the Pharisees. Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered the children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. So basically Jesus here is I think that, I'm trying to remember what started it. It was something to do with the Pharisees were, refresh my memory real quick here. Oh yeah, okay, and here's the verse. Maybe I did read it. Yeah, it was in verse 31. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. So Jesus comes back and says, tell that old fox. kind of shows that Jesus did have a sense of humor. I like that. Okay, back to also in Matthew. Where am I in my notes here? Again, talking about crafty being a general term for false prophets. So here in some of these other verses, I'm going to show where these false prophets are called names similar to this. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Another term quite popular in the Bible. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Basically, what Jesus is saying here is that, this is actually Paul talking about what Jesus said, that their biggest concern is they want to feed their own bellies. It means that they want to make money. So they're going to say things that people want to hear so that they get lots of good donations to the cause. And that's true today, too, I'll tell you. You look at some of these TV evangelists and people that talk all this great stuff about being, today's your day to be rich, you know, and that if you just send me, $1 million, or you send me a donation that that you will it'll bless you and that you will be a rich man, things of that nature. I don't know. I don't watch them on TV, but I've heard stories about them. So if that ain't true, then I know that I've heard people say that that's what they do. So we're in 2 Corinthians 11:13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transferred as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. This is basically Paul pointing out that these false prophets, and realize that I'm spamming the whole, 3,000-year history the work between the Jewish temple all the way up until Jesus' time frame and into the apostles' time frame. These false prophets have been around forever, and they're even with us today. And so it's important to really be careful. And it really, any false prophet is a disciple of Satan. And so it's important to try to identify who they are. I guess that's the main lesson for today's. So back to Ezekiel 13:5. You have not gone up into the gap, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord says, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Again, just more words Ezekiel's using to try to convince these people that these people are not speaking for the Lord. Not sent by the Lord, we see in Jeremiah 29:8-9. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. It's another aspect. You hear about that a lot these days, about people who dream certain dreams. But if it doesn't follow God's timeline and God's plan, then I know there's a verse in Acts that talks about young men will have visions and dream dreams. And I'm not saying that that doesn't happen. I truly believe that I read a really good book. And I wish I knew the name of it. I would tell you about a young lady in one of the Middle Eastern countries. She didn't say which one. She was had fearful for her life and for her family's life. She lives in the United States now, but her family, she still had some family there. So she didn't want to say what country she was from. I suspect it was Iran, but she read a really good book of what it was like to try to be a Christian in a Muslim country. And I couldn't help but think about the fact that she came to the Lord through a dream. The Lord actually spoke to her in a dream and brought her to Christ and brought her to him. And I can believe that that could happen in a place where, it's impossible for a missionary to get into, that Jesus would use dreams to reach those people. So I think that's what he means in Acts when he talked about young men will dream dreams and old men will have visions. I think that's what he was talking about, is that he's going to make sure that every single person on planet Earth is going to hear the gospel one way or another. And I truly believe that. I would think of that name of that book, a really good book about how she was persecuted for her faith. Jeremiah 29:9, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. Zechariah 10:2. For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain, therefore they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. Jeremiah 27:8 through 15, and I wrote this in here. Get back to where I was in my notes. Oh, okay. Yeah, this is a really good, explains this whole thing about the divination. I guess I had mentioned too that one other thing to be careful of when we're talking about these false prophets, it also includes people that try to predict the future. And I think it's important to realize too, it also talks about people that really rely on horoscopes or spiritual enlightenments. What do they call those people that go around that, well, they have a term for it. They can help you find things. And supposedly they've even had times where they've helped find like loved ones. And I can't think of the name of it right now, but all that is based, all that kind of stuff is based on Satan. And realize that Satan has some powers too. It's just that he can't, he has a bit of a, he can only do whatever God allows him to do. So that I thought this passage in Jeremiah really kind of spelled it out well. Starting in verse 8. And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that not, will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. So realize that all these people needed to do was just follow, take their punishment that God was dishing out, and become a enslaved by, because here God is using Nebuchadnezzar as his tool of punishment. So continuing verse 9. Therefore, hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out and ye should perish. Remember the original plan, if you go back to the first siege, except for people, a few people like Daniel and a few others, that Nebuchadnezzar had set up a government in Jerusalem, kind of like Jesus' time when the Romans were in charge, kind of a similar thing. And they just would have went along with it and taken their punishment, that everything would have been fine, but they wanted to rebel. And so that's what got this whole thing started. Jeremiah 27:12, I spake also to Zedekiah, king of Judea, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Why will you die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for their prophecy a lie unto you. For I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, and that you might perish, ye and the prophets that prophesy unto you. Important lesson there to realize that by following these false prophets too, that it meant their own destruction. In our time frames, following false prophets or enchanters or any other kind of soothsayers, in our terminology, we call them people who turn to horoscopes and some other words. I can't think of them right now. But you're talking about people that fortune tellers, mediums. That's the word I was trying to think of, mediums. All those kind of people that think that they have some kind of power that. And it's a power, right? But it's not of God. It's of Satan. Or it's completely fake. They're just really good at convincing people of what they're saying. Mark 13:6. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. It's the Lord telling us exactly that this stuff is going to continue on, even into today's time frame. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take heed, behold, I have foretold all these things. Have you not seen a vain vision? Oh, now we're in verse 7 of Ezekiel 13. Have you not seen a vain vision? And have you not spoken a lying divination? Wherefore, whereas you say, the Lord saith it, a bit I have not spoken. Another example is over in Matthew 24, 23, that if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Kind of the same. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. I think I read that once before, but basically, you know, that just reiterating what Rode is saying, that you really got to prove that what you're hearing with the word of God. Ezekiel 13:8. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. And my hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel. Neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. I'm talking about upon the prophets about vanity over in Jeremiah 23:30. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Jeremiah 23 through 6, talking about lies. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pishar brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then saying Jeremiah unto him, the Lord hath not called thy name Pishar, but Mogadis, whatever that word is. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies. And their eyes shall behold it, and I will give all Judea into the hands of the king of Babylon. He shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. In this particular story, they had put Jeremiah in stocks, thinking that they were going to stop him from talking. And as soon as he got out of the stocks, he started talking again, more or less. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city and all the labors thereof and all the precious things thereof and all the treasures of the kings of Judea will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them and take them and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pishur, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die and shall be buried there, thou and all thy friends, to whom thou hast prophesied lies. So I believe this Pashur was one of those false prophets that Jeremiah was talking about. But it's also interesting to see that some of these false prophets were talked about over in, once they started rebuilding over in Ezra, they started talking about some of these people that were telling falsehoods. And because of this, their names were actually stricken from the records. So that over in Ezra 2:59 it says, and these were they which went up from Telamech, Telahesh, Cherub, Aden, and Emer. They could not show their father's house and their seed whether they were of Israel. In other words, they were completely taken out of the record. They could not even prove that they were of a certain tribe of Israel. Ezra 2:62. These sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but they were found not found. Therefore, were they as polluted, but from the priesthood. These are different people that were, because they disobeyed God and they were in high position. When Israel was allowed to back into the land, they no longer had a name that was recognized anymore. Nehemiah also mentions it in 7:5. And my God put into mine heart to gather together the nobles and the rulers and the people, that they might be reckoned by genealogy. And I found a register of genealogy of them which came up at the first and found written therein. And it goes on to, in this particular case, right after this, it goes through an entire list of the people who, I just read 6. These are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity of those that had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away and came again to Jerusalem and to Judea, everyone unto his own city, who came with Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, and it goes through a whole list of the people who were come out of the captivity, who were still part of the tribe of Israel. I basically pointed that out only to show that these particular people, God had stricken from the record, and they were no longer seen as part of the tribe of Israel. So they lost their place. Okay, back to Ezekiel 13:10. Because even because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace, and one built up a wall, and lo, others dabbed it with untempered mortar, saying unto them which dab it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. It shall be an overflowing shower, and all great hailstones shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. One is an interesting verses. The only thing I could find about it was that this untempered mortar was basically a basic translation of it as whitewash. So whitewash, that term has always been used in kind of a couple of ways. It was a way of covering up a dirty wall. And it could have been how Ezekiel was kind of portraying it here, that they were trying to whitewash the fact that what they were saying, that God wasn't going to have wrath on Israel, and that these false prophets were using untempered mortar to try to hide the fact what really was going to happen. But that God is basically saying that that whitewash will be discovered as soon as the hailstones and the stormy winds fall and take away the whitewash. In other words, basically the truth will be known. Ezekiel 22:28 talks about this too. This is further on down, when we're getting close to when the actual siege happens. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lines unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken it. So basically trying to coronate this idea of the untempered mortar is another way of saying that they were telling lies, that they were trying to whitewash, you know, the actual, what was really going on. Okay, back to Ezekiel 13:12. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing? Wherewith you have daubed it? In other words, once the wall comes down, all the lies are exposed. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. This whole passage is reminding me of Sodom and Gomorrah. I didn't find a correlation, so I didn't bring up the verses, but it's God's way of taking wrath on a city is with fire and brimstone. So will I break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. This will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall, and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that have daubed it. So he's going to destroy Israel and the people who are trying to say that Jerusalem, and those that are in it that are trying to whitewash it, in other words. Verse 16, to wit, the prophets of Israel would prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and we see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. As a final note, talking about visions for peace over in Jeremiah 6:14. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. I think I've heard that term too when it comes to our time frame. There's going to be a time frame in the tribulation where people are going to be yelling, peace, 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 and then sudden destruction happens. I know that's a verse somewhere. I just don't know what it is off the top of my head. But I'm sure that at some point I'll be quoting it for something. That's where I'm going to stop today, and we'll finish this chapter tomorrow. And we'll talk about the In this case, it's not just the men that have a problem. The ladies are involved too. So it talks about prophetesses. I have so much trouble saying that word. So I'll just say girl prophets. It gets into the realm of some of the people you've probably heard. Funny, I've never heard anyone ever name their girl, their daughter Jezebel. It's one of those names that through eternity has been known to be a false prophet. Tis. Okay, I'll end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, thank you so much for this time that we have looking your word. And I praise you and I thank you so much for your help to help me to understand it. And you continue to help us to understand your word and to learn more and more about you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Okay, I will talk to you all again tomorrow. You have a great day. And today's Wednesday, so let see you all at evening service tonight, Wednesday prayer and Bible study. And so we'll see what Pastor Sicarios has for us for tonight. And we'll talk to you then.